What up, bumpkins? How you doing? I got a bonus dish for you guys today. That's right, a country-ish bonus dish. Now, what is that? This is an audio version only, okay? Now, if you watched the last episode that we did with Jim Brewer, we gave you a 15-minute version. Actually, we ended up talking for about 35 minutes, and it got pretty passionate there in the middle. So I thought I'd save it for just you guys, just the podcast subscribers, and we call it a bonus dish. Now, you know Jim Brewer. He's done everything from Half-Baked to many comedy specials, Netflix, you name it. The guy's done everything. He's a legend in comedy. And, so just sit back and enjoy the country-ish bonus dish, that's hard to say, with me and the one and only Jim Brewer. Yeah.
What's happening?
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you for doing this, buddy.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We've never met, but I'm a huge, huge fan. I'm going to start off kissing your butt right out the gate because, my God, I'm a huge fan. You're a comedy legend, hero, inspiration to me, and I'm being dead ass. I just got done watching your special, man. I loved it. Absolutely.
Well, good. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. Are you in Naples? Thank you. Or I know you moved to Florida. Are you in Florida now?
I'm Naples, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm up in Naples. Yeah.
I love
we
it.
We took an ass whooping.
Yeah. Yeah. Sadly. I was there not long ago. I did Off the Hook Comedy Club.
Yeah. That's always fun. The bar to your right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You people know, getting hammered.
Making drinks while you're trying to do jokes, and it's the worst. But I love the room. The people are always fun. I like going there.
People are great, yeah.
Yeah. So this is country-ish. That's my podcast, country-ish.
I like. Yep.
Because that's kind of me. Like, I'm from Hickory, North Carolina, but I was in L.A. for 18 years. I'll just tell you real quick. Dad had a stroke, paralyzed on his left side. Is in a skilled nursing facility. My mom's never lived by herself, got glaucoma, brittle bones. Thought I'd park it with mom for a minute. Then a pandemic happens, and I couldn't even go anywhere, even if I wanted to. So I am now back where I was born and raised. So I'm kind of country. I'm kind of not. I'm this weird hybrid. I'm country-ish. I feel like you could be that as well. You're in Florida a lot, which is pretty country. You know, some of it. And then, but you're from New York.
Well, grew up Long Island. My father and the Brewers are from Kentucky.
Okay.
So they're all from Dayton, Kentucky. Not Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky.
Oh,
big difference. So, and then when I lived in Long Island for a little while, and then I was in Manhattan. And then we moved to Jersey, and people think Jersey is, Newark or whatever, but where I live, or the Jersey Shore, where I lived was in the country. Bear, coyote, fox. I was out in the woods. We lived in the woods. And so now, being in Florida is even more country. So, yeah I'm country-ish. My first concert was Johnny Cash.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yeah. So when I was, it was at a place called Westbury Music Fair in Westbury, Long Island. And I was probably about either eight or nine years old. And I don't know if I was the only one from my parents. I was at the stake. So they couldn't leave me alone. And no one to babysit. So I think they were like, he'll like the music. We went there. It's first time being at a real show. You know, you're a kid. You're like, what are all these? Like, wow, it's a stage. This ain't an auditorium. This isn't a play at school. Like, what's going down? People are selling shirts. Wow, people are yeehaw. And then, and it's a very intimate venue. And Johnny Cash and his band came out, and he started off with, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." Bow, 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 bow. And I just remember my dad going, "Yeah," and I looked at him. What, from Long Island? There's right. You walk the dog, no Jew. Hey, shut the dog up, Anthony. shut him up. There's no E-U's in Long Island. And he saw that look I gave him, and he went, I'm from Kentucky, son.
Yeah.
He goes, we'll explain that another time.
Wow.
What? So, yeah. And then as I started getting to know the rest of the brewers, and I go visit them in Kentucky, we're the only ones that talk the way we do. The rest of them all got deep drawls and talk much slower. So, yeah, I'm country-ish. Yeah. And I grew up a country music fan, which I totally forgot. My first album was Glen Campbell. And then, yeah, and it was Charlie Rich. And then Johnny Paycheck. Take this I love the Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah.
My dad loved the song Y'all Come Back Saloon. She played tambourine. Oh, no.
I'm with you. I like the old school country music. I don't like a whole lot of this new poppy stuff.
I do love old school
Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, George Jones, that kind of stuff. So
I'm with you.
We have a lot in common, honestly. I mean, I know a lot about you. I know that we both played the Gator Growl, just different times. Didn't you play the Gator Growl?
It was great.
What was that like?
Probably. It was a learning experience. It was the worst, one of the worst gigs I've ever had in my life.
Are you kidding me?
No. It was, are you allowed to curse on here?
Yeah, you can say anything you want.
Okay. All right. So it's me, Daniel Tosh, before anyone knew who he was. He didn't even know who he was.
Yeah.
A comedian called Dave Attell. Dave Attell before Insomniac. So he's kind of coming up in the ranks. All the comics think he's cool and edgy, and he's, you know, they all look up to him.
Yeah.
He seems like a non sellout guy.
Right. Right.
And he's got Insomniac in the works, but no one really knows it.
Okay.
So I'm the big, they call me up. I think a guy named Jay Moore. I think Jay Moore canceled.
Oh.
And at the time, Jay Moore is huge. Just came off of Jerry Maguire. He's crushing it.
What year are we talking here?
I want to say 98-ish, 97, 98, somewhere in that world.
Were you on SNL at this point or had just finished?
I think
it?
I might have just finished.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I don't think Half Baked didn't come out yet. So this might have been like 97.
Right.
And they said, Jim, you want to replace Jay Moore. And they told me the money, and I almost had a cardiac arrest. Right. My God.
Yeah.
That's a down payment on a small house. Right. So I thought this guy, and they're like, you know, this guy's been on this big name, this big name. So the only thing is you can't curse, you know, don't make fun of homosexuality and all that jam. Like, I got it. I'm a Sunday Live. I got it. Don't worry.
Right.
I show up at the gig. They make you sign. Now, don't forget, you get this big paycheck, but you're making fun of religion, if you smoke, you don't say nothing about homosexuality,
right.
Don't cause any problems, you stay in the line. I got it.
Do you know how much time you were supposed to do? Was it like a 15 minutes?
20?
Yeah, 20 minutes.
I think Daniel Tosh, I think, is doing 10. No one was even, poor, you know, no one knows who he is at that time. No one knows who David Tell is, and he's got to do 15. I got to do like 20. And you've been there. The stadium's packed. Oh,
it's crazy.
They've been sleeping over all week for this event. So, Daniel Tosh goes, now they give us a gift. They give us the contract. You know, don't forget, you got a sign here. If you do anything, you don't get your check. Oh. Like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm getting that check. Well, Daniel Tosh goes up. No one's no one's listening or paying attention. And that's nothing against him as a comedian. It's just 30,000 people. Who's this guy?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Dave Attell is filthy. Mm-hmm. Not only is he filthy, but he's got some dark tendencies. How is he going to pull this up? And he's a chain smoker. How's Dave Attell going to pull this off? And I hear them talking to Dave. He's like, right, no cursing. Got it. No worries. Don't talk about homosexual. There's kids in the audience. Got it. Where do I sign?
That's perfect.
Signs of paper. And he goes up on stage. And I go on the side to watch. I'm like, this is going to be great. He's going to. And all of a sudden, he goes, let's get this out of the way. Cock, horse, tits, vagina. And he just keeps going and going and going. And the harder they, the more sexual, dark cursing he goes, the more the.
Right. The kids don't care. They love that
They're
kind of stuff.
Going bonkers. And then he goes, sometimes I stick my penis in the fishbowl just to let them know who's boss. What is eggnog? I think it's elf car. I'm not going to be able to follow this. I can't. So he goes, sorry, Dean, but tonight's for the students. Am I right?
Oh, God.
He comes off the stage. I mean, I already lost the fight before I went in the ring. And he walks up to me smoking a cigarette. He goes, guess I'm not getting paid.
Oh, my God.
I went, oh, my God. Well, I got paid, but, woo, boy. I'll just say this. When you're playing an arena or a stadium.
Stadium. It's outdoors. It's so much against you right at the gate. I mean,
When it is not one person boos or heckles. That's easy. But well, now I'm dealing with sections. This is section 217 just decided we don't like this guy. Bring back the last guy. I don't want to hear about him and he's married and talking about. And then section 411 is like, you know what? We agree. Section 120. We also don't like him.
Yeah.
Boo. Oh, you know? And so. And then there were sections like, no.
He's cool.
And so all that is going. And I just kept looking at my watch going, oh, my God, I'm getting booed off my gaming ground. I took my check, but it was probably one of the worst gigs that I ever – I took a beating on that one. Took a beating at gaming ground.
It's definitely the biggest – audience I've ever had, live audience, you know.
Yeah.
There's what, 35,000 people? When I played it, it was in the end zone. The stage was in the end zone. Yeah. No one was in the field because they manicured the field.
Yes.
So the audience was around you in the stands. So you can't really make a connection with someone one-on-one because they're way out there.
Right.
And you have to play to the camera because there's a big screen.
Right.
And then so that's weird. And then I asked Jim Gaffigan, who had done it a couple of years before me. I said, "Well, what advice can you give me?" He says, "You're not gonna the first laugh. You're not gonna know if your joke works for about 5 seconds because it takes that long for the laughter to come back to you. So it messes up your timing a little bit." And that first joke, I was afraid. I was like, oh, no, 1, 2, 3. Oh, okay. So I survived it. I did not kill. I survived it. I was the only comedian that had to perform. I forgot the band who played that. Big band played after me. But I just did 15, 20 minutes. I just kissed their butts. I told them how great Tim Tebow was for 15 minutes. I got out of there.
and we're going to win, right?
Right.
Yeah. That other team from Mississippi, who we play in Tennessee. Tennessee, they suck.
He's the best. Yeah. Well, man, I've loved you for a long time, buddy. Ever since the first time I saw you on TV, I think it was a Comedy Central special called Hardcore.
Wow.
And
yeah.
You came out. Did some great bits, and then you had a band behind you that was like scoring your comedy as you were going. I had never seen anything like that to that point, so to me that was like a groundbreaking thing. And one of the best comedy bits of all time, I believe, is the one where you're talking about mixing alcohols, and you know, of course, tequila comes in and ruins everything. So I love that bit, man.
Well, thank you. The band was fun, man. We had a, I wanted to, because I'm a storyteller.
Yeah.
So what better way to do that than score and enhance the emotions and make it more than just a comedy show.
Yeah.
Make an event, make it like a concert, and then find some hooks and make fun of music stuff. That was a really fun period. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
How long did it take you to get that to where you liked it? I mean, you had to rehearse and with these guys, this band for, was it like a couple of months or?
Well, the good thing too was, they're all my best friends.
Okay.
So I grew up with two out of three of them.
Yeah.
So they've known me forever. So they already know my stories. They already know everything. And then it was started with and the other comedian, this guy, Paul Bond at the time. We just known each other and we knew how to riff off each other. So that it all came natural. They were really, and they would watch me like a hawk.
Yeah.
So it wasn't about like, hey, we're going to great music. They would just watch me to see, where am I going? Uh-huh. Is he going far out there? They knew when to be silent. They knew when to enhance it. They were really good, but that's because we had such a camaraderie between all of us.
Yeah, it worked so good. And then you came out, you did Let's Clear the Air in 2009. And your dad was in that one. And then you went on to do the documentary about him, More Than Me.
Yeah.
And I think I briefly saw you in Montreal. Maybe it was 2008 or something. And you had your dad. Did you not take your dad with you to Montreal one year?
I probably did. I don't remember, but I don't know if I took him to Montreal, but I do remember bringing him around all the time.
I saw you, maybe it wasn't Montreal then. Maybe it was another festival, but I saw you in the distance and I'm like, oh my God, I want to go talk to him. But then I got really nervous because I like you. I'm like, because you know, sometimes you meet somebody and you like them and they're not nice. And you're like, oh, now I have to hang
out. Yeah.
So I left you alone out of respect to you and my love of you.
Oh, well, you could have said hello. It would have been all right.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just scared. But we have that in common. That's why I think you're a hero, is the way that you helped take care of your dad in those final moments, and all that you've been through since then is amazing.
Well, you know what I learned in time too, John? It's like, when we go into this, it's, you do make a decision where it's like, do you want to do it for the leather pants and the kangaroo, or do you want to do it because you can make a difference? And I know that sounds corny and all that, but it's also about, I realized after Half Baked and after SNL, people would categorize me. And I felt like I had so much more to offer, not from my ego. My ego was not a problem. It's just like, wow, you're concentrating on this and this. But I think if you saw the Family Guy and how I take care of dad and how I take care of mom, it might help you. Mm-hmm. And so in 2008, I made that drastic change and I got rid of everyone and went, you know what? I'm not going to let the industry put me here or just keep chasing that. I'd rather start over and give an example for people. And there wasn't a lot of people my age, because my parents were a lot older, that knew what it's like to deal with death or your parents getting older, or a lot of people, they make money and they just ship them away, which is, that's all they know. but it's also, can you sleep all right at the end of the night? And that moment in time, I always try to walk a walk. I always try to, it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's very satisfying. Yeah. So that stuff is way more important to me than than like being hilarious and all that jazz, if that makes sense.
100%. When you said you got rid of everybody, you mean like managers, agents that were?
Yeah.
And then you just focused on the family. Yeah. Right. I'm kind of going through a little bit of that now. I've been back to my hometown for 4 years now, outside of LA for 18 years, and I'm kind of like slowly thinning the herd on that LA side of things. And
well, you know, it's cool about what you're doing. And a lot of what you guys are doing, meaning you guys doing podcasts and blah, blah, blah. Look at your setup. Mm-hmm. If you were to go and pitch this, it wouldn't look the way you look right now. They'd have you doing something else. You'd be branded however they want to do it. You go to LA because you want to be in TV and film and blah, 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 and all this jazz. And that's all fine and good. But there is no better destiny than when you own your own concept and your own personality. And so people are not going to tune into you. You don't have to be hilarious. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be funny. I feel like it's the time and age where all you have to be is authentic.
Yeah.
And all you have to be is as truthful as possible. And humor just comes along with it, with guys like you, with guys like you. It's just, it's part of our nature. So that's second nature. So I think guys like you, you know, you may have looked for a specific dream out in LA, but now you're home. Mm-hmm. Now you got, I don't know if you're a family guy or whatever going on in your life, but now you can, I don't know what your revenue is and what you're making, if it's huge, if it's not, but here you sell your tickets. Here people start to like you, so they want to go see you, and you don't have to win them over because they already know who you are.
Right.
And that happens in time, and I'll take that any day of the week over, hey, you got to get out there for pilot season and all that other nonsense.
No, it's honestly the happiest I've been in a long time. And I would hate myself if I had not come home for all of that. Just because I am a family guy. I love my mom, my dad. I'm catching up with I get to see my son. And we do a segment on this show called Irrational National Holidays. There's like a stupid holiday every day. You know, like today's National Sausage Pizza Day. You know?
Okay.
I mean, who knows? There's a bunch of them. And today is International Day of the Girl Child. Who knew that was a thing? But you got three daughters, right?
Yeah.
Now, did either of them get your comedy gene? Did you pass that on?
They all have it in different ways. They're all like, you know what? I'm going to have to come up with comparisons for all three. One is the oldest one is a little, she likes, sometimes a little more sadistical stuff.
Okay, sure.
The middle one is full-blown Jim Brewer. She's animated. Right. She's a storyteller. She can imitate any human being around her once you leave. She's the ringleader. She's in the middle of the crowd hooping it up and telling the stories. And then there's my youngest, who's in full-blown slapstick, full-blown, the harder you smash your face, the harder she laughs. We spent the other night, we couldn't breathe, we were laughing so hard, we were showing TikTok videos, and it just one after the other, people falling, smashing.
To me, that's still one of the funniest things ever. Someone getting the crap scared out of them or falling down today is still one of the funniest things ever. It's, you know,
there's nothing funny. And then we download it, because once you download a video, then you can rewind it, put it in slow motion. So we'd watch a lady just falling down and sliding her face and up and sliding her face and up and sliding her face and back up. Like, let's see her eyes when she knew she was done. Oh, right there. She knows she's done.
Yeah. I love that.
So, they're all funny. They're all really funny, but they don't want anything to do with with stand-up or acting or anything like that.
I was listening to your podcast, The Bruniverse.
Yeah.
And you, I think the latest episode, you were talking about how she's going to another country, your oldest, right?
Yep, she's already there.
How old is she again?
23.
23, and she's off to, I forgot where you said.
She's off to, I won't say it yet, but she went to another country pretty far away.
Yeah.
They stay at hostels.
Yeah.
So it's should be, but at the same time, I'm excited for her because, you know, if I was 22, 23, I don't know if I'd have the nads to just start going, yeah, I'm going to go from this country and live in hostels. Hostels.
Yeah, no.
Wait, what? Is it 8 beds in one room?
Yeah.
And you don't know any of them?
Right.
Nah, dude. We ain't doing that.
No, at 23, I was getting kicked out of a football game for dancing in the end zone with the mascot. You know, that was my right. claim to fame.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Is there one joke or bit that you have that you're known for that kind of annoys you because people won't stop talking about it? Like, I did a bunch of Dodge truck commercials back in the day, and I'm the guy who said, that thing got a Hemi, about the Hemi engine and whatever. And now everywhere I go, someone's always asking me, Hemi. And, you know, I'm not really pissed off about it, but I'm like, yeah, man, Hemi guy. Yeah. You know, do you have a bit like that? Do you like, okay, what about the other stuff, man?
You know? Well, what I learned was if it brings them to the party.
Right.
Then so be it.
Yeah.
Whether you wanted that to bring them to the party or not.
Yeah.
And then once you understand that, and what I like is I always challenge myself. So in other words, when Goat Boy was the big thing, or Half Baked, or you're Brian from Half Baked, I would make sure in my stand up, when they left, they'd even realize, well, he didn't do any of that.
Right.
Oh my God. He was so damn far. I was howling. And then not until after, like, you know, he didn't bring up Saturday Night Live. And he even talked about the movie Half Baked. Like, that's wow.
Yeah.
They don't even realize it. So I don't get upset anymore. If anything, I take it as if that's what brought you here. Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait for you to sit down and watch the next hour, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to bring you to a whole new level.
Yeah.
But yeah. That definitely gets tiring after a while if certain people are into just certain things. Or something I would try to teach comics that go with me on the road. You know, if they're known for something, I'll go, don't be mad at them.
Right.
That's a lot of people don't even have that. So if anything, use that.
To love other things about you. Right?
Yes, and take advantage of it, man. Yeah. Go after it. So what? They bleat like a goat in my face. Or when they say, you know what the best bit you have is?
Right. You're like, have you seen them all? Right.
Right. Well, you know what taught me about that too, John, is when you see musicians,
yeah.
Right, if I'm going to go see a concert and I want to hear whatever, Walk This Way by Aerosmith, and he doesn't play it or he doesn't do it, and then they go, yo, man, yeah, that song's old, man. I'd always get annoyed.
Me too.
At the musician, like, dude, why do you think I came?
Right.
Why do you, what, like, just acknowledge it, punk.
same thing happened to me. I went to go see Prince a long time ago, and this was when he was doing his, like, he was like mad at his record company, and it was a big Walnut Creek amphitheater in Raleigh, North Carolina. He didn't want his image on the big screen for religious reasons, I think. I don't know. And then he didn't want, he wouldn't play all of his bits. He'd play 10 seconds of Little Red Corvette and then stop and then do something else. Like, he was teasing us. And I walked away going, like, that kind of sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw Iron Maiden. I loved Iron Maiden. And I saw them somewhere in Canada, another festival, and I'm up there, and like, oh wow, so it was like a blues, so it was music and comedy, and I go see them, and they're not doing any. This was years ago, and then I think they realized they made a tragic mistake, right. And they had it. And but I was like, wait, you're not doing any of the hits? I don't want to hear your 2009 album. I don't want to hear it.
Right. Yeah, not all of it. Give me, maybe mix it up a little bit. I don't mind if you mix
Run to the hills. You're not going to play that?
Right.
The number of the beast. 666. What? Come on. This play is stupid.
Oh, man. Yeah. Today is also National Coming Out Day. So I'm going to twist the meaning of that question and apply it to politics. What is there one event that happened in your life that made you say, all right, I think I'm going to put my toe in this water for a little bit and see what happens? Because, I, you know, growing up watching you, I didn't see much of that in the act. I saw a lot of fun and family stuff, but I never saw that side. And I'm happy about it. I just want to know, was there one event that happened for you?
Well, I don't understand what you're referring to be honest with you. No, I'm being honest. I have no clue what you're referring to. What is political in your mind that you're referring to?
All of it. The most recent special you're talking about.
I talked about lockdowns.
Yeah.
Forcing a jab.
Right.
The rules that came out, which one of that is political?
I guess they've politicized all of it, and that's what I'm kind of talking about. But that's what. So that's what led you to that.
What led me to speak out about common sense and truth?
Yeah.
And observing the takeover.
Right.
What I see is a full blown takeover. What others still see is a pandemic virus.
Right.
The fact that I can. I'm not emotionally attached to the news. I'm not emotionally attached to any political party. I'm not, as far as I'm concerned, politics has always been professional wrestling. There's a reason why it's a two-party. We never, I wouldn't be shocked if we never really won the Revolutionary War. I know that sounds crazy, but I thought it started off with taxes and that we still pay the taxes. Why every time England goes to war, we're backing them and they're backing, I thought we were mortal enemies. So, you know, you go to DC, it looks like England. So if we hate each other so much, why do we still copy all that? Because it's no longer than me and you saying, we got a monopoly on everything here. And they go, hey, can't have a one-party system. And I go, you know what? You're right. John, me and you are going to, you know, you're an asshole, John. I'll meet you behind the shed. Okay, here's what you got to do. You got to talk about how we got to, you know, stop the border. And then I'm going to say, these people need help. And these guys don't care about it. But you got to, like, you got to sell it. Okay, I got to sell it. And that, to me, has always been from the beginning of time.
Oh, wow. So, it's kind of like that Bugs Bunny cartoon with the sheepdog and the coyote. They'd clock in, and then they'd fight each other, and they'd clock back out and go hang out.
What's the difference of what goes on today? Because I do things like this. I mean, again, they like the reason why they make everything political is to divide. That's all it is. Hey, what do you think of abortion? Abortion is not something you go yay or nay. It's a deep, embedded spiritual, emotional thing. You don't just sell it like you're selling Nestle candy bar. Are you pro-choice? Or are you pro-life? Nestle, there's a lot more involved there.
Yeah.
There's much more involved there. So when I see, and I always have seen, humanity taken advantage of, it's very disheartening. It's to try to find the humor in that was extremely difficult because I had rage.
Yeah.
Watching people being conned into not being able to see one another, hug one another, visit anyone. And to me, my personal opinion, that con job on humanity was perhaps the most disgusting display. When you have a guy like all your heroes saying, you know, and people actually saying, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your mother, your neighbor going, you know, you're a danger if you don't do this and that, and you're not allowed here and that. That was so well orchestrated.
Yeah.
And also, and I would say it made me realize that it's just the same part of history repeating itself, except for the majority is too blind to see it. Mm-hmm. So I don't take this as just funny and not funny. I do take this as life or death.
Right.
This to me, this is your soul. You can pretend to paddle and pretend nothing's going on. That's on your mind. That's on your heart. It's my job. God gave me this gift to mm-hmm. present a different view. And perhaps we can laugh and go, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm happy that you're going there is what I'm saying. I'm happy about that because I don't think I've worked up the courage to go all the way in yet. I'm still sort of this – I try to well, – on this show we talk about – we say it. We don't do politics.
But right.
There's many times I'm biting my tongue.
Well, again, it's the word politics.
Right.
What did okay. I just so, say? So
that's – yeah.
What did I just say that's so just, political?
Right.
Medicine is not political. Locking me down is not political.
Yeah.
But that's the genius of the monsters that we trust. Mm-hmm. Your media, your politicians, your these are demons.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate them. Yeah. They're controlling your emotions. They're controlling your mind. And they're controlling your decisions on your life, on your child's life, on your family's life. That's not political.
Right. Right,
has I see nothing what you're saying. To do with politics.
I see what you're Zero. Saying. It was I had to go visit my dad in a skilled nursing facility, looking through a window, and sort of tapping on the glass like we're at a zoo. And that's
disturbing.
That bugged me big time.
Yeah, it should bug you.
Yeah,
it should bug you. And what I realized too, John, and like you say, you're feared a little. If you know in your heart of hearts what your instinct is, mm-hmm. because instinct is not science. Science is a paid product. Any science can be paid for. If I'm going to tell you, hey, the latest data is XYZ, but guess what? This company's paying for me to come up with this data. So
right.
yes, it's true that it's science, but they're lying because they're only given one angle.
Right.
It's all play on words.
Yeah, yeah. It happens in courtrooms every day when someone hires a doctor to say one thing about something and the other team couldn't afford that doctor. Now, here we are.
So, again, I try to keep away from the word, like stop saying what's political.
Right. I like that.
Because that's what turns a crowd up. I'm not political. And I keep challenging people.
Yeah.
Tell me which part is political.
Right.
They can't. Well, yeah. No,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
You don't say Republican or ah, but
yeah.
It is. And so when I realized that, you know, we all know we don't know how long we're here. None of us are in control. That's number one. Number two is, it's bad enough that we don't have control of life. We don't know what the plan is. You can have a stroke tomorrow. You can get a phone call. Someone's got cancer. You lost your child, whatever. But when your so-called officials
mm-hmm.
and the TV man start telling you how you're going to be living your life, that's a very alarming part of humanity.
Yeah.
And they may fool some people, but I wasn't fooled mm-hmm. and I still will not be fooled. And what I learned too, John, is my whole life I feared, well, if I say this, I may lose this. And I started thinking about what do I lose?
Mm-hmm.
What do I lose? The opportunity to do, I don't do movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity to make a lot of money. I got a home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much more do I need?
Right.
I'm not starving. I'm not in the street. Mm-hmm. I'm driving a good car. I sell out theaters. So what am I really losing? Am I going to lose a certain group of people? Well, to be quite honest with you, I don't want them in my life. Right. Right. I don't have time for them in my life. Paul Revere went running down the street saying, the British are coming. Hey, man, the British are coming. They're you know how many people went, you goddamn conspiracy theorists, go to bed. It's in the middle of the night. They're just here to help us pave the roads. Ignore their red outfits. We ain't got time for those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have time for them.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
And I'm not, they're not an enemy. I just don't got time for that.
Yeah.
So unless they can come on a deeper mind, think by yourself process, I don't want them hanging out.
Yeah.
They're going to have a lot more fun. And you know what? For some people, it's too scary for them.
Yeah.
I got one friend. I said, so let me ask you something. I said, when it comes to Twitter or any kind of social media, if I say something that is truthful and it gets taken down, no matter who they are.
Yeah.
Could be a doctor, could be a president, could be whatever. You're okay with that happening? And the big dumb answer that came from that, the coward answer came from that was people went, well, yes, because it's a private company and they get to, that's a coward answer.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing is not, you are denying truth. You are denying morality.
Right.
You are denying what is real just to satisfy the team that you emotionally attach yourself to. You got caught up in the game. Not me, not anyone else.
Right.
So when you, so I have no problem talking about that because it's truth.
Yeah.
As long as it's truth, you can't, you know, it's like, oh, misinformation. Well, if we're going to start misinformation, you have to start with your president. He said, if you get a COVID shot, you won't get it.
Right.
It's on record, video. He got it. Many people got it. So where's the misinformation?
Right. I'm happy that you're talking about it. That's awesome and brave. And I, after I got COVID,
it's common sense.
I got COVID, I got vaccinated, and then I got it again. And then I really, because I, in the back of my brain, I didn't have this, like, I wasn't too worried. I didn't think the government was out to get me or anything.
Of course.
But then over time, you see it happening in real time. They said this, then this happened. I'm like, well, then they knew that. That's a lie. And
if
so,
a government is willing to send your child, your brother, your daughter to go get potentially murdered in a war, that's a lie.
Yeah.
You think they care about your medical health? You don't think they're going to lie about that?
Right.
Never once did they say, hey, man, go out in the sun and start eating right. I mean, that's common sense.
Yeah.
It's common sense.
Right. Yeah.
And then, so this ain't a game.
Yeah.
This ain't a game. And it's not politics.
Right.
It's something deeper.
Yeah,
it's something much deeper, in my opinion.
That's
so
well said. And this special you got right now called Somebody Had to Say It. It crystallizes that. And by the way, it's hilarious. You do a good job of making points, but also making a lot of people laugh at the same time, which is what I love.
Well, it wasn't easy.
Right.
It wasn't easy. Because when I first started working out this material, the material came from anger.
Right.
And my key is, how do I switch the anger into, they're here to laugh, Jim. They can think, but they got to laugh. And I even studied guys like Carlin, where he would make you laugh. But I think it was the second to his last special. He got dark.
Yes, he did.
And although, in my opinion, everything he said was truthful and real, I didn't feel like being lectured.
Right. I've said the same thing many times to people. I found myself going, he's right, but not laughing.
Right.
And we're supposed to make people laugh. Right.
Right. And then I feel like his last one, though, he recognized that, and he still stayed just as harsh, but he came out funny, where that is the key. That's God's gift to me. I got to be funny. Yeah. So I can start off with anger, but now I got to find the funny and keep the point across to make without someone getting insulted. Yeah. And I need help. You know, my wife helps me. I bring my opener, Joe Sib. Joe Sib was like, he's a total California dude. He's like, dude, bro, love everything you're saying. crowd's digging it. I think you need a little more Jim Brewer. Hey.
Right, like lighten it up.
This is lighten up. And I'll tell you what, Joe was a huge help leading up to that special, because he saw me working out and I would get rocked, because crowds went from ha ha ha, you know, like, all right, it's not a rally, man. It's not a rally. We got to pull it back. We got to pull it back right here. And although some people love that, and I see people out there now running with that,
right?
That ain't what I'm about,
right?
At the end of the day, life, we're on a ship, and eventually it's going down.
Yeah. Right.
And if I can lift your spirits and maybe wake a couple crew members up before we go under. And that was my mission. I did my job.
And mission accomplished, especially in this special. And the way that you ended it with your funeral, how you wanted to go out. It is a classic Jim Brewer bit where you've proven all these points. And now you're saying, I still want to be celebrated. Why do funerals have to be such a sad, weird, sorry for your loss, you know, whatever. And stuff me in a cannon.
Yes. Stuff me in a cannon. Put some fireworks on. And I want a full-blown block party. Shoot me up over a lake.
When the cannon goes off.
Yeah.
And your body comes out, and your head's like this.
Yes, yes.
I had to hit pause. I was rewinding it like a TikTok video, watching your face do this. And I'm like, oh, did you study this? I mean, it's so good.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And listen, you're going to be in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Tomorrow through Saturday at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. I'm sure you've played there before. It's a great club. So enjoy yourself.
I'm looking forward to it. I think every show is going to be different too. I don't know what I'm bringing to the table yet. This is why I like playing rooms like this. This is going to be a good week to come out and see me. I got a lot that I'm messing with and a lot that I want to put out there. And it's kind of like I'm working on that new somebody had to say it.
Yeah.
But in a whole new level, if possible. Awesome. So I'll see you there.
You're
going to come by one night?
I would love to. I'm in town. So,
Come on by.
I will do that. Thank you, Jim Brewer. You're the best, man.
Thank you, Johnny. Be good. Have a good one. Bye.
There you go, folks. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that. If you did, don't forget to, rate us on Apple Podcast. We need some new, reviews, and give us 5 stars, and we will read your review on the show. I'll make Isaiah read it in his little hazy Gen Z voice. So give us 5 stars, rate, review, subscribe, and share, and know that I love you, and we will see you on the next episode of Country-ish.